Hello and welcome to the Soul Refuge Podcast. My name is W.F. White. I am a born-again Bible-believing Christian, and Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Be blessed. Is Jesus Christ Jehovah? That is the question, and that is the message that I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, some people do not like to equate Jesus Christ with God Almighty, or Yahweh, Jehovah. If you study the Hebrew, you'll look at the words, you'll see Jehovah. And this is what I'll be talking about here today. I'll touch a little bit on the issue of the Trinity, but I want to do a separate message solely on that topic. So it's going to be a little longer when I do that one, but I believe it's worth it. Certain things you need to dig into, because you'll be confronted sooner or later by people from different organizations, such as people from the Watchtower Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, or perhaps the Mormons, or even people that are Jewish. They don't believe in such a thing as the Trinity. The People of Islam is another organization, a religion. They do not believe what we would believe as Christians. So I will be touching very a little bit on that topic, but this is more centered on the deity of Christ and his equality with the person that we know as Jehovah or Yahweh. So perhaps you're from the Watchtower Society and you're listening. Listen up. This would be good for you to learn. So when you take a look at that word, by the way, Yahweh, YHWH, they use vowels so that would be easier to pronounce, E, O, and A. So they inserted those vowels to make it easier for a person to pronounce that name, okay? So when you come to the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, the word Lord is usually translated from the Greek word kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. So I want to assure you, though, that the Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the same Lord that is found in the Old Testament. So that's where we would get the word Yahweh or Jehovah. So this is what we're dealing with here today. So let me start off real quick. We're going to go to the New Testament book of John, okay, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So we learn here, folks, that the Word is talking about somebody who was with God, and yet it says the Word was God. So this is very interesting, and now I'm going to take you further down in the same chapter just to show you who the Word was. Look at this. Verse 10, John 1:10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Hallelujah. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what do we learn here, folks? Verse 10, we see that he was in the world, that this person was in the world, and the world was made by him. But the world didn't know him. He came unto his own, that's speaking of the Jewish people, and his own received him not. Now look at this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God," or children of God, "even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's being born of God, ladies and gentlemen. "And the Word was made flesh." Here we go. And the Word. Who's the Word talking about? "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hallelujah. So who are we talking about? Let me go a little further. John 1:15, John be a witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Hallelujah. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So folks, this is some powerful scriptures here. The one who was in the world, we are talking about Jesus Christ. He made the world, okay? He made the world. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Look at that. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Jesus Christ walked in this world, ladies and gentlemen, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Look at what John said. This is John the Baptist. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Ladies and gentlemen, what was John the Baptist saying? He's saying, this person here, ladies and gentlemen, he was before me. How could that be? In this world, in the natural, Jesus was born 6 months later than this man, John. But John knew in his spirit that this person we know as Jesus Christ is eternal. He's everlasting. Glory to God. So there's a lot of meat there, ladies and gentlemen. And, there's a lot of theology here, but there's a lot of truth. And what I'm trying to say is you need to take heed to what is being said here, because the person that I'm talking about here today is who you need if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So a lot of meat there. As I said, most of the Jewish people, they did not receive him. For the majority, he came unto his own received him not. So a lot of stuff that I want you to remember, folks. Jesus Christ is just not one of the crowd. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I've said this before. Whenever I did an assignment, we had to, at the top of each page, we put JMJ with a line under it. What does that stand for? Jesus, Mary, Joseph. You see? So Jesus, to me, was just one of the crowd. He was just, you know. But when I got saved, folks, when the Lord opened my eyes to who he really was, and, you know, I realized that I didn't know him until I was truly born again in 1989. So let's dig into the Word of God here. I'm going to take you to a scripture here from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Glory to God. Who's that talking? That's Yahweh. This is the Lord, folks. And he said that he makes all things, stretches forth the heavens alone. No help here. That spreads abroad the earth by myself. So if Jesus Christ, we learned in the Gospel of John, ladies and gentlemen, that he created all things were made by him and for him. And now we see here, Isaiah 44:24, that the Lord maketh all things. And he did it alone, and he did it by himself. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, they teach that God created all things. You know, that Jesus Christ is a created being, and then he created the rest of the things. You see, you got to know these things, folks, because if you're caught off guard when these people come knocking on your door, these are things that you need to know, because their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Scriptures. I want you to see that. In fact, if you back in that book of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word They insert a little A, was a God. You see that? They don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, nor you can say that for the Jewish people. You know, that was one of the reasons they wanted to stone Jesus. They believe he was guilty of blasphemy because he made himself equal with God by saying he was the Son of God. So these are things you need to know. It's good to know. Let's go to another passage here, ladies and gentlemen. This is Zechariah. Let's go down to verse 10, very well-known verse. Look at this here. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So what is this talking about? Look at this. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. What is that? Almost sounds like the crucifixion when Christ was pierced on the cross. Isn't that what happened? Let's go down to verse 1 here and see who's talking. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. So who's talking? This is the Lord talking. So the Lord was talking, and you can go all the way down to that verse that I just showed you, folks. When he says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and so on, and when he says, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, folks, this is Yahweh talking. It's Jehovah talking, folks. What? How could he be pierced? Because he was pierced, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I want to bring out to you folks. And you say, wait, it can't be the same person. Oh yes, it is the same person. As I showed you, when you looked at the first verse, this is the Lord talking, the one who stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth. He created everything. He formed the spirit of man within him. Let's go now to the book of John. And we're going to go to chapter 19. I'm going to take you down to verse 30. We'll start there. This is when Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he's on the cross. Some good stuff here for you to remember. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost or the spirit. So this is the closing moments, the closing final moments of Jesus Christ in this world. Next verse, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Let me move that up a little. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Now, this is some powerful stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. This is the fulfillment of scripture, ladies and gentlemen. The very scripture that we read back there in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10, where Yahweh says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And this scripture here from the Gospel of John says it was fulfilled. Now, isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that interesting? And these are things you need to know. I'm going to take you now to another scripture. In the book of Revelation, if you look at verse 7, now, you're going to see that that very same scripture, basically, it has another part to that being fulfilled. So it was fulfilled already. But look at this, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. You know what that's talking about, folks? Talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. This day is coming, and I believe it's coming very soon, folks. He's coming with clouds, and they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. Who's coming? Look who's talking. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. We're talking about Almighty God. It says it right there. I'm going to read the whole verse again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Am I saying that Jesus Christ is the Almighty? Yes, I am. Absolutely. You can be assured of that. I'm going to take you back now to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to go to chapter 48. I'm going to look at verse 16 here. Another powerful verse here. Good to remember. Good to remember this verse. In fact, I happen to be walking around in Brooklyn, and sometimes you'll see street ministries with those little boards that they would set up in the street, and they would draw pictures. Good evangelism. And a man must have asked the evangelist. I guess he was bringing up the Trinity. And I remember the man gave this verse, and I looked it up, and I said, "Ooh, that's a good verse to remember." So I pass it on to you right now. Look at this. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Now, this is some good stuff, folks. I'm going to read it slowly. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. Let me stop there. This is God speaking, folks. And now the Lord God, one, and his Spirit, two, hath sent me, three. The triunity of the God in one verse right there. Don't ever forget it. And now the Lord God, one, and his Spirit, two, hath sent me, three. The triunity of the Godhead. This is the same one that was speaking, folks, who said they would look upon me whom they have pierced. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that. And we already saw in Revelation, we looked at the Alpha and Omega. It says the one who was the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. So let me take you now back to Revelation. And we'll look at verse 17 and 18. Good stuff to remember, if you ever, in a situation where people bring up Jesus, they don't believe he's God. This happens all the time, by the way. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe in a triunity as we would believe it. By the way, the word the Trinity, it's two parts, tri, like a tricycle, and then unity. So you put the two together. That's how they developed the word Trinity. So Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So, very interesting. We have the first and the last here talking. And he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Now, the first and the last, we know, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about God Almighty. Talking about Jehovah. Now, it's saying here. It's saying right here, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. This is Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, who was speaking right there. So as you tie all of these things together, let me go back now to Isaiah. It's good to do this. Look at this, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. That's powerful, folks. That is powerful. Look at this. The Lord. The Lord. He says he's the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. We just saw that the first and the last said he was dead and is alive forevermore. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ Jehovah? Is he Yahweh? Absolutely. Absolutely. The scriptures prove it. It's very clear what we're reading there. Let's go now to the book of Philippians. Let's go to chapter 2. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. Let's start at 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form or nature of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let me see 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's some good stuff. Who being in the form, look at verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't robbery because he was equal with God, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff that we see in these scriptures here. And let's take a look now. I want to show you something from John again. Go to John chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ, or I'm not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias or Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Messiah, or Elias, Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So I want you to see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It's important that you know him. If you go back to the book of Isaiah, look at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of Jehovah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Plural form of the word God. Hallelujah. Speaking of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist identified himself as that voice that cried in the wilderness. So who did John the Baptist prepare the way for? We know he prepared the way for Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for Yahweh Elohim, because Jesus Christ is Yahweh Elohim, Glory to his name. So this is some good stuff you could dig in and see in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. Very important that you know that Jesus Christ is in fact the Lamb of God. He came into this world, ladies and gentlemen. He was sent by the Father because of God's love for mankind. So if you don't know the Lord today, it's not too late to get saved. As long as there's breath in your body, this message, by the way, folks, is for everyone in the world. So you may be practicing other beliefs, but you don't believe what I'm teaching today. In fact, if you are from the Watchtower Society, you need to be born again God's way. You need to understand who Jesus Christ is. We're talking deity here. If you're Jewish, you need Jesus Christ. If you are a Muslim from the Islamic faith, you need Jesus Christ. You need to believe what I am preaching here today. Let me go now to the book of Acts. Well-known passage of Scripture, great passage of Scripture. Be it known unto you all, verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. There was a man that was healed. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So there you have it, folks. This was Peter preaching to his own Jewish people. And he let them know clearly. He says, you know, Jesus Christ, he said, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Okay? And then look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. So Peter made it clear to them. He said, hey, guys, this is it. It's either Jesus Christ or damnation. I'm telling you, this is some serious stuff, folks. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Remember, Jesus has been given the name above every name, and this is the one you need. He is the person that you need, folks. He's the only one who can save you. You know, it's not like you go to a restaurant and say, oh, something from column A, and this guy will have something column B, and he wants something. No, there's one way in. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. You're not coming in through a back window or a back door or any other way. You must come through the door. Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus Christ is the way. And don't forget the title of the message is Jesus Christ Jehovah. Yes, he is. And as I said, God willing, hopefully soon, I want to do a message to dig in further into the triunity of the eternal Godhead. And I want to give you some good scriptures. We'll bring in the teachings and show you that the Holy Spirit is God. The Son of God is God. God the Father is God. And you're going to see how it all fits together. The scriptures prove the triunity of the eternal Godhead. And you'll have people saying, oh, I'm so glad you came out of the Catholic Church, but how can you believe that stuff? That's pagan. Oh, folks, I think I've heard it all, but I shouldn't say that. Maybe I haven't. So I'm really looking forward to doing that teaching on the Trinity, the triunity of the eternal Godhead, and also to show you the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. So I want to get it all in there. It might be a little long, but it's worth it. Folks, these are things we all need to know as Christians, because sooner or later, you will be meeting people. If you're sharing the Word of God, sharing the gospel with people, these things will come up. Be blessed.